It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is January 7th, 2022, and it's 1900 UTC, which means it's time for some news. If you'd like to hang out and talk during the show, you can always SSH over to sdf.org, run the com program, that's just C-O-M, press enter, or return, depending on your keyboard. They'll do the same thing for this, and then type G for go to, and then it'll prompt you, and you type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word, and then you press enter. And then from there, you'll be brought into the Anon Radio Room, where you can hang out with all the cool people and have fun. And once you're there, stick around, because at 1930 UTC is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. We've been having a lot of fun this week. Very high production values. Anyway, I think it's pretty cool. So, just wanted to mention all of that to you. That's what's going on. We're going to go ahead and... I guess I should forewarn you, since today's Friday, and during this daylight I don't know if we're in daylight savings time still. Either way, my time's wonky, so I have a team meeting at 1 p.m. local time, which is 1900 UTC, which is why I'm pre-rolling this. But I forgot, and so I'm pre-recording this early, so we're going to have a song at the end of the show. Sorry about that. All right. So, first up, Kazakhstan unrest. We've been talking about them the last few days. Well, I don't know if I mentioned it, but it's an authoritarian state, which means they have like a dictator that runs the country and rules it with an iron fist. And there were protests about liquefied petroleum gas, but don't worry. They are protesting the whole government at this point. And that leads us to this story. Kazakhstan's authoritarian leader says he has ordered security forces to fire without warning amid a violent crackdown on anti-government protests. President Kasym Jomart Tokayev also said 20,000 bandits had attacked the main city of Almaty, the epicenter of protests sparked by a fuel price hike. He blamed foreign-trained terrorists without giving evidence. The interior minister says 26 armed criminals and 18 security officers have been killed so far in the unrest. In a televised address, Mr. Tokayev dismissed calls to hold talks with protesters as nonsense, saying, "What kind of talks can we hold with criminals and murderers? We had to deal with armed and well-prepared bandits, local as well as foreign, more precisely with terrorists, so we have to destroy them. This will be done soon," he said. Opposition groups have rejected authorities' accusations of terrorism. Earlier, the president said constitutional order had been largely restored. A BBC correspondent in Almaty said the situation was much quieter after days of violence, although there had been some sounds of gunfire and explosions. So, yeah, that's the drama going on over there. Troubling, to say the least. More trouble in Central African Republic. This I found interesting because I don't know about you, but I eat my fair share of peanuts. Well, and Powell in the Central African Republic's northwest is famous for peanut farming, but production of the crop has been affected by the presence of armed groups in recent years. This year, with the insecurity, there have been too many threats and thefts. We have to sell the crop very quickly and at low prices, said Celestine Inforo, a farmer. Like most of the local population, the young woman depends on peanut farming for survival, but regular attacks by armed groups, including the three R's, Return, Reclaim, Rehabilitate, one of the most powerful, have prevented her from exporting the goods. The groups take advantage of the security crisis in the country to harass farmers and take control of the peanut trade. What is preventing us from developing further peanut farming in Paua is, it's P-A-O-U-A, is how you say that, or spell that, is insecurity, Jean-Paul Ndebopoye, manager of a peanut store, said. When we want to send our goods to Bangui, to Berberati, or even Buar, we might run into road bandits, he added. Many armed groups have found safe havens in the rural areas of the vast country, with the central government struggling to govern beyond the capital, Bangui. So, Very troubling indeed. Farming is hard work, and it's just terrible. It also seems like it could be a good plot for a movie. Peanut farmers are not a common topic in the United States, anyway. Two Haitian journalists were killed in a gang attack. Two Haitian journalists have been shot and then burned alive on the outskirts of the capital, Port-au-Prince, according to one of their employers. Williams Lusant and Amadi John Wesley had traveled to the area to an area where rival gangs are fighting for control. Mr. Wesley's employer, Ecout FM, said he was savagely killed while reporting on the area. The radio station told the BBC that one of the gangs was behind the deaths. It added the unnamed group were a rival of the Baz T. Macaque gang, which had been trying to speak with the media. A security source confirmed to CNN the men had been burned alive, while another unnamed source, told Reuters news agency a third journalist managed to escape. Haiti's security situation has declined sharply since the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse in July. On Saturday, gunmen tried to kill Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry. He had vowed to crack down the gangs who had been blamed for a wave of kidnappings across the country. However, police have been largely ineffective. They have failed to organize any large-scale operations to tackle gang violence in the country since March, when four police officers were killed in an attempted raid in a Port-au-Prince neighborhood. Thursday's attack took place in the Boule, just to the south of the capital. Gangs here are fighting for control because of the road which passes through it, which connects Port-au-Prince to the country south. So, troubling as it is, Haiti's continuing to fall into chaos, or continues to be in chaos, which is really sad. Speaking of chaos, oh my gosh, now this, my friends, this is something else.
Resistance is futile.
In a grim scene outside the state governor's office at Zacatecas in Mexico on Thursday, police discovered 10 dead bodies in a sports utility vehicle. That's right, Mexican authorities said two people have been taken into custody for leaving the corpses outside Governor David Monreal's office at Plaza del Armas in the central state of Zacatecas. Officials said a man drove the SUV into the plaza, which was still lit with Christmas and holiday decorations, left the vehicle there, and then walked away. They came to leave them here in front of the palace, Mr. Monreal said in a video. He added that the bodies looked like they'd been beaten and had bruises all over them. Referring to rising violence in the state, Mr. Monreal promised that bit by bit we will recover our peace. He later tweeted that two suspects linked to the discovery in the morning had been taken into custody. We won't rest until peace and security return to our state. Zacatecas saw increasing violence last year as drug cartels fight to gain control of the drug smuggling routes to the United States. So, this is very interesting. Last November, the bodies of six people were found hanging from a bridge and a tree in Fresnillo in Zacatecas. And then in June, bullet-ridden bodies of 18 people were discovered in the Valparaiso region. Authorities later said there was a gun battle between Sinaloa and Jalisco cartels. So there's still some gruesome, terrible stuff going on in Mexico as well. Oh, my phone buzzed. What happened? Okay, cool. Sweet. I got a work text, so life is good. Oh, man. What are we going to do? We're about 10 minutes in, 9 minutes and some change in. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep talking, because there is a lot going on in the world. Two were arrested. Two people were arrested after those bodies were found. A Russian submarine hit Royal Navy warship sonar in North Atlantic. Odd phrased title. What does that mean? A Russian submarine collided with a Royal Navy warship sonar on patrol in the North Atlantic. HMS Northumberland had been tracking the submarine when it hit the ship's sonar equipment, being trailed hundreds of meters behind it. Okay, that makes more sense. Okay. Had been tracking when it hit the ship's sonar equipment, being trailed hundreds. I'm confused. I think that they're saying that the Russians ran into their sonar equipment that they were dragging behind them hundreds of meters behind it. In the incident in late 2020, was captured by a television crew filming a documentary. A UK defense source said it was unlikely the collision was deliberate. HMS Northumberland was searching for the submarine in the Arctic Circle after it disappeared from the ship's radar. which was filming for its Warship Life at Sea series. The MOD said the frigate had located the hunter-killer submarine using the towered array sonar, a long tube fitted with sensitive hydrophones to listen underwater. A periscope was spotted on the surface by the ship's Merlin helicopter before the Russian submarine dived again, hitting HMS Northumberland sonar. The film cameras captured the crew shouting, "What the hell was that?" It's not clear what, if any, damage was suffered by the Russian vessel, but the warship had to return to port in Scotland to replace the damaged equipment. There's been an increase in Russian submarine activity in recent years, and Royal Navy frigates regularly patrol in the North Atlantic. The MOD would not usually comment on operations, but it has done so because the incident was caught on camera. So anyway, there you have it. Something new that I didn't know was that they drag sonar equipment hundreds of meters behind them. That's like, I don't know, a kilometer is 1,000 meters. So if it's hundreds of meters, it's not a kilometer away, but they might be like a mile apart. It's like, come on, you can't even see it anymore, and you're just dragging it along through the water. I don't know. Maybe I don't understand the scale of the ocean or the channels where they're at, but it just boggles the mind that it was that long of a tether. Anyway, well, what else is going on? Well, here's something uncomfortable. The Taliban continue their battle to destroy women. Taliban stop Afghan women from using bathhouses in northern provinces. The Taliban sparked outrage this week by announcing that women in northern Afghanistan would no longer be allowed to use communal bathhouses. The use of bathhouses, or hammams, is an ancient tradition that remains for many people the only chance for a warm wash during the country's bitterly cold winters. Women who regularly use the bathhouses for ritual cleaning and purification required under Islamic law said this was another example of the Taliban tightening its grip and infringing their basic rights. They fear the ban will be extended to other parts of the country. On Monday, Sardar Mohammad Haydari from the provincial branch of the Taliban's Ministry for the Propagation of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. I feel like this is an early 2000s band name, and they're just that far behind the times. It's a terrible name. Terrible group, said women would be banned from bathhouses in Balkh and Herat provinces. However, another Taliban commander who spoke on condition of anonymity told The Guardian that he didn't support the decision, adding that Afghanistan's new leaders should focus on bigger struggles. The UN predicts that 97% of Afghans could be living below the poverty line by middle of the year. Even the 40 Afghani, or 30 pence entrance fee to the hammam is difficult to find, but many women have been scrambling to do so anyway. Women in the northwest city of Herat, where only 39% of neighborhoods have adequate access to water and sanitation, reported some bathhouses had already closed. So, Heather Barr, Human Rights Watch Associate Director of Women's Rights, said she was enraged at the cruelty of denying women the only relief from the cold for no reason at all. She said they have the intention to want to meddle in every aspect of women's lives. We heard warnings from Afghan women from the start, saying that the situation will get worse. Today we're seeing evidence they were right. Why are they stopping women going to the hammam when people are starving? Said Barr. This week the Taliban also ordered shopkeepers to remove the heads from mannequins. We talked about that earlier. So this is more troubling and just absolutely terrible. I don't know what to... It's amazing that this news comes out of Afghanistan, but at the same... And it's shocking, but it really... I don't know if it should be shocking. It's just... Anyway. Oh no! This just in. Breaking news. Sidney Poitier, black acting pioneer, dies at age 94. The first black person to win a Best Actor Oscar gave a string of groundbreaking performances on screen that helped combat social prejudice. Sidney Poitier, whose groundbreaking acting work in the 50s and 60s paved the way for generations of black film stars, has died at age 94. His death was announced on Friday by the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Bahamas, Fred Mitchell. The Bahamas Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper said he was conflicted and with great sadness and a sense of celebration when I learned of the passing of Sir Sidney Poitier. He added sadness that he would no longer be here to tell him how much he means to us, but celebration that he did so much to show the world that those from the humblest beginnings can change the world, and we gave him his flowers while he was with us. So, anyway, RIP, he was a great actor and a groundbreaker in a lot of ways. All right, back to the story, and then we'll play a song.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
No, I know. Peruvian state's giant penis Oh, Peruvian statue's giant penis thrills tourists, but vandals are turned off. Visitors stop for selfies with a 9-foot representation of a fertility symbol from pre-Columbian Mojica culture, but phallus already damaged. The newly erected statue of a grinning man with an enormous phallus has prompted delight and rage in an archaeological hotspot in northern Peru, where it has been on show since the beginning of the year. If you want to see this, you can go to the Guardian.com website and search Peruvian statue giant penis, or probably just Peruvian statue, and it'll come up. It's rare to be able to say giant penis in a serious way. A 15-minute drive from the center region of the capital Trujillo, the statue has already proved hugely popular with passerbys and tourists who pose beneath the 1.5-meter member for selfies. But despite its historic fidelity, the 9-foot-tall fertility symbol has already been attacked by vandals who smashed a hole in the statue and reportedly fired shots in the air as they fled. Arturo Fernandez Bazan, the mayor of Moque, the district named after the ancient culture, told local media, "At 2 in the morning, 3 hooded criminals held a knife to the security guard's neck to keep him from acting or calling his colleagues on the radio, and 2 of them damaged the phallus. The roadside monument to the ancient pre-Inca culture, renowned for its sexually explicit ceramics, has also drawn tourists as the statue stands on the route between the imposing adobe temples of the sun and moon, or the Huacas del Sol y la Luna." So, Fernandez Bazan said he plans to erect up to 30 more statues representing the Mojica culture, about a third of them representing erotic acts or childbirth along the archaeological circuit. So, people, haters everywhere, but such is life. All right, let's go ahead and play a quick song, because I've got a few more news stories, and then I got to jump off, and we'll just end with some music. That's the way it goes. Alright, sorry, I got a little sidetracked. I was trying to find a song that wasn't like a million and a one hours long, and you know what we found? We found something called I Can't Help Myself. It's not a song, but it's the Four Tops.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, that's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well that, my friends, is powered by you. So thank you very much for being here and for hanging out and listening. So we've got just a few minutes left with me, and then there's some music, and then it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which has been real fun, real blast this week. So definitely want to check that out. In comm, you can press the equal sign to see what else is coming up, or you can just go to anonradio.net. If that is your bag, you can see it. You can subscribe to an Apple iCalendar ICS or whatever else calendar if you would like. Everything, however you want to do it, whatever works for you. I used to like to subscribe to the calendar, and then I would change the time zone, and then that way, boom, I could look at my calendar, or I would just import it into my calendar, and I could adjust for the time zone, and then everything would be in my local time, which can be helpful when you're trying to figure out what's going on. Since today is Friday, we've got, scroll, Here Now the Words was at 1500, shout out to Publius, check that out in the archive. But there's news to me, then Dubious Goals Committee, Something Blue, DJ Vol's Weekend, which is usually really fun, The Third Ear with 10, also a fun show, I like that one. And then tonight, Cafe 80s with Bronzy Beat, and followed out with ends with DJ Harvey and Vintage Comp Open VoIP at 200 hours UTC Saturday, which is later tonight. All right, so let's go ahead and get cooking. First up, I always got to mention the nuclear energy story if it's there. Paris and Berlin agree to disagree on French push to label nuclear energy green. Germany and France have agreed to disagree on the EU's move to label nuclear energy as green. German Europe Minister Anna Luhrmann said Friday, denying any conflict between the two European giants on the issue. The European Commission has issued a draft proposal to label nuclear energy, along with natural gas, as green. Sources is eligible for the investment under rules for promoting a carbon-neutral future. France has led the charge for nuclear power, its main energy source, to be included on the list, while Germany, which is in the process of shutting down all of its nuclear plants, remains fiercely opposed to the move. We know what the French position is on nuclear power, and the French side knows very well what the German position is, Luhrmann told AFP in an interview. So we can say we agree to disagree on the issue and then turn the issues we want to move forward, from climate protection to sustainable investments to the issue of European strategic sovereignty. The Green Energy List, known as the EU's taxonomy, was meant to have landed before the end of 2021, but deep divisions between member states have held it up. The European Commission quietly distributed a draft text of its plans on New Year's Eve and said it started consulting with member states on the proposal. And that's what's going on there. Here's some headlines before I gotta get out of here. China announces appointment of a special envoy to Horn of Africa region. China's foreign minister Wang Yi met with Kenya's president Uhuru Kenyatta on Thursday at the port of Mombasa, where both leaders visited the multi-billion oil pipeline project being built on the coast. So the Chinese representative reaffirmed China's commitment to peace in the region. And I think it's good news for Africa to have strong investment and good ties there. Two children among three Eritrean refugees killed in Tigray air raid. An air raid has struck a refugee camp in Ethiopia's war-hit Tigray region, killing three Eritreans, including two children, the UN has said. So, tragedy continues. Bitcoin fell to its lowest price in months after the U.S. Fed made some remarks. The cryptocurrency dropped from $47,000 a coin to less than $42,000 per coin. Followed minutes from a meeting of the Federal Reserve, which suggests it may raise interest rates. So, fantastic there. Kazakhstan being offline has also messed with the price of Bitcoin. Three men to be sentenced for the murder of black U.S. jogger. The Ahmed Aubrey case, the three guys who ran him down with their truck and then killed him, are going to go to jail. Omicron exposes east-west divide on living with COVID. And everything is at risk. Flood survivors urge Congress to change inadequate insurance. The petition argues that the federal government's current flood insurance policies are ill-equipped for an era of climate crisis. You might also argue that people being allowed to build in flood zones is another failing of the government. Anyway, that's all the time we've got today. Thanks so much for being here. Please enjoy this music and the Dubious Goals Committee. Bye-bye. Penny Lane. Shaves and